Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. Oh, my goodness. We have a today word, a great word, a godly word, and I am so grateful that God has given me this opportunity to come before you with his word. For those that are with us on a regular basis, you know, on Fridays, we do Friday, Saturday words and part of Sunday words, which are Old Testament, New Testament. And on Friday, we were in the book of Exodus. Today, we will be in Matthew, starting in Matthew chapter 23 through Matthew chapter 24. So we will be in Matthew chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 24 today. And the title that God gave me was what Jesus said, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. As Christians, we have to be so careful that we do not walk into deception. The enemy is busy. He's busy. He's busy creating havoc everywhere. And we have to be prayed up. Come in. He will try to divide. He will try to steal, kill, and destroy relationships, churches, and people, and families. He is especially after children because they are the future. We have to be prayed up. We have to move forward, but we have to stay in the Word of God. The Word tells us to meditate on it day and night. We have to meditate on the Word. We have to study it. We have to believe it. We have to read it. I am grateful today that God has given us this Word, true, and that all we have to do is believe and know who we are, children of God. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you today. We thank you for this day that you have given us a new day, a new opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday, to treat each other better today than we did yesterday. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for any sins that we may have committed, seen and unseen, sins known and unknown. Lord God, we ask you to watch over your children. Lord God, I pray a special prayer today for those that are homeless, that do not have shelter, Lord God, for the temperatures are below zero. Lord, please watch over your children. Keep them safe from harm. Let there not be one person out in this cold. Lord God, I pray that there is overflow in the shelters, that they are allowed people to come in and stay warm. Pray for those that are in need today. Lord God, let not one house be without electricity, be without gas, be without all the necessities they need to stay warm. Through these storms of life, Lord God, through the weather, through the element, through all the things that are happening in our world, Lord God, we are praying healing, healing of the planet, and healing of the people in it. Lord God, help us to be better. Help us to treat each other better. Lord God, let the have help the those that don't have. Let the rich help the poor. And those that are not in need, help those that are. But Lord, we are all one nation. We are all one planet. And if one nation dies on this planet, all nations will die on this planet. We must help each other. And Lord, I pray for my nation as we start an impeachment hearing on tomorrow. Lord God, I pray that you guide us in the right direction. That, Lord God, you let truth come out. That there be truth spoken to power. And Lord God, we ask you to guide us, that we will be a one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Lord God, I pray justice. I pray righteousness. I pray truth. I pray you, oh God, are in charge, not what is politically, but what is right. Lord God, we ask you to guide us, to help us to be better. And Lord God, we ask you to give us Holy Ghost discernment, that we may see the wolves in sheep clothing, that we may see the false shepherds, the false teachers, the false prophets, oh God. Give us discerning spirits, that we will know when you are present and when you are not. But Lord, we are your children, and we are asking you to guide us as a father guides his children in the right direction. And Lord, as we pray, we ask you to help us not to pray amiss, that we pray prayers that will help heal and strengthen not only ourselves and our families, but our world. Guide us, oh Father, to you, that when the trumpet sounds, we will be ready, that our bags will be packed, that we will be ready to walk through the narrow gate into the kingdom. Guide us, Father, and I pray special blessings, Lord, over those that are suffering from COVID, that those that are sick and shut in. And Lord God, I ask you to please heal the lame, give sight to the blind, and guide us all in your direction, Lord God, that we will stay on our squares, stay in the light, not falter, not follow after darkness, not follow after lies and untruths, but stay on the narrow path that leads to you. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you, oh Lord, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, please be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you, Lord. I ask you to take control. Take control in the name of Christ Jesus. I pray this prayer, believing, trusting, and knowing that there is only one God, and it is you, my Father in heaven, who created everything, everything, down to the lowest ant. I thank you, Father, for you are good and greatly to be praised. And I give myself away. Use me, Lord, as you see fit on this day. In Jesus' name I pray again. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength, who is the strength of my life. I cannot do this without him. And I thank him this morning for a voice to speak and ears to hear, speak the word that Jesus spoke to his disciples, to us today, that he asked us to not be deceived. For we are living in a deceptive world. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. And throughout the word today in chapter 23 and 24, it's about the hypocrite. Woe to the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. We have to be careful that we are not hypocrites, that we don't talk one thing on Sunday and live another thing Monday through Saturday. We got to be right and righteous at all times. And he talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, but he talks about the scribes and the Pharisees the most in the right direction. And so we're going to look up the word scribe. So we get this in a context, and in the context that Jesus is speaking in it. Scribe. What is a scribe? Let's look up that word. And I'm getting out my dictionary here. And we're going to look up the word scribe. And the word scribe says this, a scribe, a person who serves as a professional copyist, especially one who made copies of manuscripts before the invention of printing, a public clerk or writer, usually one having official status, also called Sofer Judaism, one of the group of Palestinian scholars and teachers of Jewish law and tradition. Active from the 5th century B.C. to the 1st century A.D., who transcribed, edited, and interpreted the Bible. And that's the scribe we want. And it says again, one of the group of Palestinian scholars and teachers of Jewish law and tradition, active from the 5th century B.C. before Christ to the 1st century A.D., and we're going to call it after death, who transcribed, edited, and interpreted the Bible. So Jesus is talking to the folks that are interpreting the words of Moses and the prophets and the law. So he's talking to these folks, are the interpreters, that are the ones that are copying and getting the word out to the masses. And so now we're going to look up the word Pharisee. I was going to try to look up the word Pharisees because my Bible, my dictionary is acting like Pharisees does not exist. And it goes, gives me a oops. But we know what the Pharisees are. Hold on, let's go back. Since my dictionary is acting like it doesn't know what a Pharisee is, we're going to go to the Google. Because it's important to know what you're talking about. And this is what the Google says. And it says, a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. These are mentioned only by Josephus and in the New Testament. Unlike the Sadducees who tried to apply Mosaic law strictly, the Pharisees allowed some freedom of interpretation, although in the Gospels they are represented as the chief opponents of Jesus. They seem to have been less hostile than the Sadducees to the nascent church, which they shared belief in the resurrection. So they are, as you say, the members of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. So they are superior. So you have the ones that are writing the law and the ones that are interpreting the law who Jesus calls hypocrites. Get into our word this morning. So please join me in Matthew chapter 23 as we talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. And this is what Jesus spoke. It says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and took his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do it, but do not do according to their works. But they say and do not do. For they blind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their postulates broad and enlarge and borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. In other words, they are the folks that think they better than everybody else. They make up stuff. Come on now. You know, I read a book I was reading, and the rabbi that was teaching the lesson talked about at a point where there were rabbis who thought they were above God. They didn't believe it if they didn't give it. So when given a prophecy that said, they told the prophet, well, prove to us that you're a prophet. See those trees, have God destroy them. And bolt of lightning, the prophet prayed, bolt of lightning, destroy the trees. And then they told the prophet, well, if you are a prophet, then make the trees grow back. Prophet prayed, and a fresh wind blew, and the trees grew back. Well, if you are a prophet, make it rain. He prayed, and God sent rain. Well, if you're a prophet, you know, and I mean, they came up with all kinds of stuff then and done. And then they said, well, the word says that we're better than that, that we're better than God, and that what we say and what we loose and what we bind is loosed and bound in heaven. So we are in charge. We're better than God. And that was what some thought. And so we're looking at these folks here, and they're acting like they're better than Jesus. They're better than the Son of God. And as we continue, it says, do not call anyone on earth your father. Wow, that hits at the heart of some stuff and some doctrine and some religious people and places and things. Do not call anyone on earth your father. But one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers. For one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. We are servants. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. We are all servants. If you are a pastor, minister, teacher, preacher, whatever your calling is, you are servant. We're not better than anybody. We're all the same, our servants. We do our job. We go to work for God. And then it goes on to tell you, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, again, so heavenly minded and no earthly good. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. But you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Don't mess with Jesus. And this is a life lesson. And again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And when I say life lessons or life questions, they are coming from Dr. Stanley. And it says this for life lesson for Matthew chapter 23:13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus pronounces woes upon those who he calls hypocrites and fools and blind and serpents. When love speaks harshly, it does so because no other language has a chance of breaking through. We're going to go back and do the life questions after we finish chapter 23. And then we'll go to a life questions from Dr. Stanley. And then as we continue in chapter 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. Blind guys who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Wow, I love that word. Blind guys who strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachai, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Woo! Jesus did not play. He did not play. He did not play with the word. He told it like it was, and like it was, it is. And he called him out. Because if you stop and think, he was actually given a prophetic word here. What did he tell him? He said, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill. Come on now. Crucify. Peter was crucified. He was crucified. Jesus was crucified up. Peter was crucified down. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Paul was chased from one city to the next by the Pharisees. Chased. They went from place to place. Wherever he was, they would come behind him trying to change the doctrine. And Paul was a scholar. He was a Pharisee first. So he knows the word. He knew the word. And he did not play. But they would come after him and chase after him from city to city, country to country. Whatever he say, they come behind him trying to change the doctrine. So Jesus was telling what was and what was to come. All his disciples, apostles, persecuted, beaten, murdered, crucified, burnt up, beheaded, thrown over buildings. Come on now. They went through so much because of the hypocrites. Because folks not wanting to lose their money. You know, because it was all about the money and not about the word and not about salvation. And all we got to see is that right now. It's happening today. The wolves in sheep clothing. The false prophets out there just lying. Alternative facts. A lie is a lie. Matthew 23 and 37. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God's greatest desire for us is always to develop and nurture a growing, satisfactory relationship with him. He created us for deep fellowship with him, but we make the choice whether we will fulfill our purpose. What are you going to do? Are you, as you know, I love this show I listen to. And one of the things Mr. Madison always says is, you got to put it where the goats can get it. You got to put it where the goats can get it. We got to put it where folks can get it, where you can eat it up, where you can get it in your spirit. We got to put the word where everybody can get it. That's why we do these blogs. That's why we talk. That's why we read and study. You know, I've discovered some awesome young men out there who are teaching the word on the internet, and they are teaching it correctly. They are studying and they are doing it. You know, and I'm like, wow, these young men are something. You know, God will show you where you need to go, because it is the youth that will lead us. And a little child shall lead them. Our young people are studying and they are calling us out. They are calling out the adults. They are calling out folks that are not doing what they're supposed to do. I pray daily, Lord, continue to guide our young people and guide them into the church body. Because understand, a church without children is a church that is going to die. It is not going to survive. If you have no children in your church, you need to get some. Because if you don't have them, your church is not going to survive. And as the word of God says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 28, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. God despises disobedience of any kind. But he seems to have a special hatred for religious pretense. Why? Perhaps because those who only pretend to love God do a great job of keeping others away from God. Can the church say amen? So heavenly minded and no earthly good will run a person out of the house of God. And they do it in a sneaky snake way. Ease up, say things. Pastors trying to bring folks to Christ, and then there's the sneaky snake in a deacon's cloth. Come on, I'm going to call it like it is. In an usher's uniform. In a ministerial collar. Easing up and saying things to young people, saying things to folks seeking salvation, praying lying prayers, and turning people off from God because they see the hypocrisy, having folks doing things that they know they would never do in their right mind. You better understand you will be held accountable for everybody you run from God with so many rules that nobody, even yourself, can keep them. Pharisees with Pharisee spirits. God is talking today. We better understand that his word is true. You know, somebody said, well, God told me. Is it in the word? Because if somebody say God told me, if you can't find it in the word, God didn't tell them. You better look it up. Christ Jesus has spoken. And we got to listen. And this is the word that Dr. Stanley wrote, some questions that we need to ask ourselves, some to life questions. Is, what do you think when you hear the word, Father? Do you recall a man who gave you love, wisdom, and support? Or does the word stir negative memories of a man who treated you badly? It's unfortunate that so many people are disappointed when they think about their father. However, God wants to show you what a godly father should be. That's why he tells us to address him as our father. He desires to have a close personal relationship with us. Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, one is your father, he who heaven. The freedom of calling God my father is an awesome privilege. Yet what is God like as a father? And I love the word that, you know, Dr. Stanley, God love him. He is such an awesome man of God. And he says, number one, God desires to have a close personal relationship with you. God desires to have a close personal relationship with you. He wants a personal relationship with us. With me, with you, with us. God wants to have a relationship with us. I am so grateful that God gave me an awesome man of God who raised me. I am grateful that he was a good man and a good person who could love a child that he didn't give birth to, or I should say he didn't plant the seed for, but he made me a faithful woman of God. And I know that he made me a good woman of God because he was a man of God. And I'm grateful to, and I'm calling out Henry Anderson, my godfather, who raised me, and Lillian Anderson, my godmother, who raised me, and my mother, Evelyn Johnson, who raised me. I call out my family, my parents. I was blessed to have some awesome, awesome godparents, Mary and Paul Capel. I will always respect and love these people. Four have gone to glory, but I'm grateful that my mother is still here, and I can call her anytime, and she's always got a you can hear the smile from over the line. Wonderful woman of God. And I'm grateful. I am so grateful. And y'all know I'll get filled up in a minute when I think about how good God has been to me. But this is a word of God in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on a son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. But that word, you know, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. You know, and this word is, God will remember Zion. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Can God forget us? No, he can't, because he created us. He knitted us in our mother's womb. So we are his children, and he is our father. God isn't a distant father. Rather, he wants to reveal his presence to you. He wants to be close to you. God loves you enough that he meets with you whenever you call upon him. Whenever you want companionship, need some wisdom, yearn for a sense of belonging, or just want someone to talk to, God is always available to you, communicate with you. And we're going to go over to Jeremiah. Chapter 33. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah, I love it. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But let's go back up. Thor nation. And verse number 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God tells us, call to me. All you got to do is call his name, Father God, and I tell you, he will come through and he will take time with you. He will speak with you. And understand, everything that God tells you is for you. It is not always something that you got to go out and say, well, the Lord said to me. It may be personal, and it may just be for you and something you need to keep in your bosom. And the word says in Matthew 6 and 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then it goes on to tell us in verse number 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And this is our word that says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And that is why we pray the Father's prayer. If you don't pray any prayer, if you can't think of what to say, just pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Tells us, Dr. Stanley says, God loves you unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. Number 4, God already knows all your needs before you ask him. God will always be with you. God is a father who disciplines. God holds you accountable for your life. God will always help you to do the right thing. God is the best example you can have, and he will always give you the best counsel because of his omnipotent, omnipresent love for you. He loves us. God is the Father who will never let you down. He understands your weaknesses, forgives the things you've done, wrongs, calms your fears, and helps you become all that you were created to be. Wow. That is a word all by itself. And all I can say is, thank you, Dr. Stanley. And our word for today is coming out of Matthew chapter 24. So please join me in Matthew chapter 24. And this is Jesus speaking. You know, I love the fact that it says, if it's red, it's Jesus. So we get ready to read the red in the Bible. So please join me in Matthew chapter 24. And I tell you, when Jesus speaks, everybody needs to be listening. And he is speaking all through this word this morning. As I say, it's mostly read because Jesus has got something to say. And I tell you this, inquiring minds want to listen and want to learn. And so we're only going to read half this morning. It's Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. And we'll finish up the rest, I believe, on tomorrow. Again, I'm coming out of a daily Bible, so the scriptures are already in a daily order. And it says this, Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple. It says that Jesus went out and departed from the temple to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we all know that the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. You know, we got all kind of crusades, and the Arabs took it, then the Muslims took it, then the Crusaders took it, and, you know, back and forth. You know, understand, so much went down in Jerusalem, you know. And then it's what Jesus says, and Jesus is always giving you an understanding of something that's coming. All we got to do is, again, listen. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be end of the ages? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. That's our word for today. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. The many false prophets will rise up to deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. We got to preach the word of God. We got to preach it everywhere we go. We got to preach this word. And then it says the great tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abominations of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until the time, no, not ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. They'll say to you, look, he is in the desert. Do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Don't go. There is going to come a time where there will be many, we have them now, false prophets, proper liars. But if you hear any of them say, Jesus is in the desert, don't you go. If he is in the inner room, don't you go. He already told us, look up. He already told us how he's coming back. Read the word. We read Revelation. We know how he's coming back. Don't fall for the okie doke, because they're coming. There are those right now who put people on pedestals, will worship people in their houses of God, will pray for folks like they are Jesus, like they are God. We got to be careful. You cannot let folks put that stuff in your spirit. You cannot touch in agreement with folks lying and cheating and telling stuff that is not of God. When you go into agreement, you are creating a vow with idolatry, with abominations, with things that are not of God. We have to be so careful, men and women of God. We've got to pray. Pray and pray some more. As we say, you got to push. You got to pray until something happens, because God is showing us right now who is in charge. We wonder why this happened, that happened, and all of this because God said so. Because God is making it happen. And I'm not saying that God told me anything. Something is between me and God. All I can tell you is what the word of God says. This is what God's word says. This is what Jesus said in the word of God. Anything and everything, you've got to check it out. You've got to go to the word yourself. Don't let folks tell you what God says. If it don't line up biblically, God didn't say it. We got to read and read some more. Study to show yourself approved. But this word is true, and we have got to stand on it. Don't let folks fool you to doing what you know is not of God. Don't say what you're just saying it just because, well, this is what. No, don't regurgitate what is not of the word. The word is the word is the word, and we got to believe it. Stand on the rock that is higher than high. We got to stand on Jesus. We got to understand that he is the cornerstone, that he is the vine dresser. We are just humble children of God. And we're going to go back to the life questions and pull up some scripture. Again, the word of God, and that's what I love about this word, and I will recommend it, and I know I'm not getting paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Stanley to hawk his Bible, but I tell you this, it is one of the best study Bibles I've ever had. I love the fact that it's a daily Bible, so you can read the entire Bible in 1 year, which is what we're doing. And I tell you, it is so good because he breaks it down. But everything he says, he gives you scripture to back it up. You know, and because of time, I will not be able to give you every scripture, but I'm going to go back over the word again, give you the scriptures that you may be able to go and read them yourself and study them yourself. And so we're going to go back to number one. And it said, God desires to have a close relation, personal relationship with you. And I read it, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. God desires to communicate with you. And again, I read it, Jeremiah 33 and 3 and Matthew 6, 6. But I went on and read some more to put it in context. God loves you unconditionally. And I believe we're going to have a little bit of time to run to that word. And that is coming out of Romans chapter 5. And again, highlightable, chapter 5, verse number 8. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That, you know, that's one of them highlightables that you should have in your Bible. When, you know, when you say that word, you got to understand it. And let's go back to verse number 6. And it says, and when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that word. And I'm sorry, you know, y'all know how I am about context. I just finish it up. Verse number 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Praise God. That's a great word. And then we're going to go over to John. 1 John. Chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse number 1. Not John, but 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Woo! I love that word. That is one of my highlightables. And it says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. I'm going to read that again because I love that. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Behold, that what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And then I know verse number 2, it says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is. And then it goes on to tell us, God is wise and knows everything about you. There is nothing you have to do to earn his love and nothing you can do that will ever lose it. God loves you, period. Thank you, Dr. Slam. Number 4, God already knows all of your needs before you ask. Matthew 6 and 8, we read that earlier today. And Philippians 4:19, we're going to go over to Philippians 4:19. I'm going to try to get as many of these read before we have to end our time. But I'll try to make sure I give you all of the word so you can read it yourself if we're not able to get through it. But Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 19. And it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That is a highlightable. And then we're going to go forward. It said, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's another highlightable. There's so many highlightable in Philippians chapter 4. You know, we got to understand that God loves us completely and totally. You are special to God, and he loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. You know, we got to know the word and read the word. And then as we continue, it says, as your provider, God always gives to you perfectly. He knows your needs, even before you do. Whereas earthly fathers often fail to provide for their children, whether because of their character or unavoidable circumstances, your heavenly Father will always grant whatever you need without fail. Whatever you need without fail, our Father God provides. Because he is what? Our Father. And so I'm just going to go through and give you all the scriptures because I know we're going to run out of time if I read everything. But God will always be with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 and 8. Number 5 again. God will always be with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6 and 8. Number 6, God is a father to disciples. See Hebrews 12, 5 through 10. Again, God is a father who disciplines. Hebrews 12, 5 through 10. God holds you accountable for your life. Number 7, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Number 8, God will always help you to do the right thing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We know that word. Come on now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. And that is all the word. So before we get out of here real quick, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I'm sorry if there was anyone that wanted to speak today. I had to get the word out. That's what God gave me to do. And if you have anything, don't hesitate to give me a call because those that are listening have my number. And, you know, the word of God that came this morning, and Sister Carolyn sent this word out at 2:58 this morning, almost 3 in the morning, says, good morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Come on now. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs chapter 18 and 10. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening in this morning. Please join me tomorrow as we continue in the Old and New Testament, in the book of Exodus, Proverbs, Psalms, and we will be in Matthew tomorrow. So thank you so much. Be blessed. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and understand we stand on the word of God. Thank you so much, family. I love you all. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' precious and holy name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Stay warm for those that are in this crazy cold below zero weather. But know that you are covered by the warmth of God and in his wings. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. It's a wrap. I got to get ready for Sunday school. I love you all. Be blessed.